That song that we just sang is a prayer.
Yes.
And that's my prayer tonight, and not just tonight, but in every time we meet together to worship God,
Amen.
That the Spirit of God would come down and be in our midst,
yes.
And be in our presence.
Yes.
Thank the Lord this evening to be in Bakersfield once again.
Yes.
And I did not come here with an agenda.
Thank you, Lord.
We came, wanted the Lord to have His way, and it's my desire that you ask the Lord in every service. A lot of times you hear the preacher say, pray for the anointing of the Word, for the Holy Spirit to come. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have anything. That's what it comes down to. The Word of God in itself is not enough.
That's right.
But we need the Spirit of God to open up the Word, to illuminate our hearts and our minds. I have a burden the Lord put on my heart, and I would ask, and not just for me, but every time the Word of God goes forward, and it is the Word of God, and it's not opinion, but it's the Word, that we don't look to the minister, but we look on through the minister to the Lord through His Word, and know that it's God that has a message for us. I want to share a message with you from God.
Amen.
You'll turn with me to Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Begin reading in the 14th verse, very familiar passage to most of you. Said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write,
yes.
These things saith the Amen,
yes.
The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works,
yes.
That thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Very, very clear what the Lord, the message that the Lord was giving to the church at Laodicea was that I know thy works.
Yeah.
And the Lord knows each and every one of our works tonight.
Yeah.
And there is no way in the way that you're living and conducting yourself, we can't fool God.
Amen.
The Lord knows how we're living our life, and it's one thing for us to come to services and say, I'm saved and I'm sanctified, but the Lord knows our works through the week.
Yeah.
He knows our works when we're under pressure from the world.
Right.
He knows our works when we're being tempted of the enemy.
Yeah.
But He went on to say, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Dear ones, do you know the Lord would prefer someone just to say, I'm not saved, than for someone to be in a condition that they're professing to be a Christian and know God and being cold spiritually. The Lord, because it brings a reproach on the work of God. When someone says, I'm saved and I'm living for God and I am an example of what it means to be a Christian, and people look on and there's no fire there. There's no fervency there. There's no zeal there. That is a reproach on the work of God. And so He said, I would rather that you be cold or hot.
Yes.
But because you're lukewarm, He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He went on to say, because thou sayest.
Yes.
Now this is the reason the church of Laodicea was lukewarm. And a lot of you probably heard many messages preached on this first part. My burden is in the 17th verse. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing.
Uh-huh.
He said, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Dear ones, every time that the Lord brings reproof and rebuke to His people, it is not done because God is wanting to cut us off. It is done because God loves us. And I want us all to know that God loves you tonight. Whatever condition you're in spiritually, God loves you. But it is the will of God that all of us would be in a place spiritually where the Lord wants us to be. The people here, they said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You know, there are people spiritually saying that same thing today.
Yeah.
Folks, we are living in a nation that's very prosperous.
Yeah.
And many of the poorest people here have a lot more than a lot of people around the world.
Yeah.
We are a rich and a prosperous nation. And if we are not careful, and we can say in the congregation too, we can say, well, see how God is blessing us.
Uh-huh.
And we can say we're rich. See how the Lord anointed that service. And when we come together, we can praise God, and the anointing of the Spirit is there. We're rich and increased with goods. Well, folks, the church of Laodicea, the congregation there, they were a prosperous congregation.
Right.
And at one time, the Spirit of God was moving in their midst, and He was using them and anointing them and blessing them. But they came to a place in their spiritual life, they looked around and said, we're rich. We're increased with good.
Yeah.
How did they get it? A lot of it God gave.
Yeah.
But they said, we have need of nothing. And they lost their dependency on God.
Yeah.
They began to trust in themselves. They began to put their trust in their own righteousness. They began to put their trust in how God blessed us last year, or last week, or 50 or 100 years ago. And they began to lose that dependency, looking to God for their spiritual sufficiency. And so the message to them was, I can't accept that.
Yes.
You're lukewarm, he said, because you say you are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Folks, there is a danger tonight. And I believe that each one of us, if we would examine our life, there are probably some, you may have not said it in this way, but there are people spiritually who are saying, I have arrived.
Uh-huh.
I have arrived. I am saved and I'm sanctified. Maybe you served God for 20 years and now you think you're in a place that you have arrived. Dear ones, if you ever come to the place that you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and I have need of nothing, and you can be talking spiritually, you're in a very dangerous place, because the Lord is not finished. The Lord is not finished, and that's the message that the Lord gave me to give to you tonight. The Lord is not finished in my life. The Lord is not finished in your life. The Lord is not finished working in the congregation. And if you ever get to a place that you think, I have arrived, I understand the truth, I know what's right, I'm saved, and I have arrived, I'm there. You're in a very dangerous place. I have need of nothing.
Lord have mercy.
They sang this song tonight about needing the Lord.
Yes.
Every decision we make, we need the Lord.
Yes.
Every time the enemy comes and brings temptation, we need the Lord.
Yes.
Folks, we're not going to be able to make it all the way to heaven without the Lord.
Amen.
We're not going to be able to make it. We need the Spirit of God on a daily basis to guide and to direct our path. There have been times, I remember a few years ago, the Lord had given me a call to something, and I looked around and I saw some in deception, and I said, Lord, what's going to keep me from doing the same thing?
Right.
These people, they're living in a way and they think they're right.
Right.
They believe they're right. I'm rich and increased with goods. But I could see the Spirit of God was not moving in them.
Right.
And so I said, Lord, what's going to keep me from going into deception the same way?
Right.
From being deceived? And the only answer that I got, I still hold on today, it's going to take a daily humbling of myself. Lord, I need you to show me if there's something wrong in my life. Lord, I don't want to get to a place that I say, I have it figured out.
Yeah.
I know, I understand it, I have it figured out, because folks, the Lord is not finished with you. And I don't care, it doesn't matter how long you serve God, the Lord's not finished with you. And if you think you're in a position, and maybe you are, I'm a minister or a teacher, or I have gray hair, and now I'm in a position to begin to instruct others. In other words, I've arrived.
Oh, Lord.
The Lord's not finished with you.
Yeah.
The Lord is not finished. And about the time you think that you have arrived and the Lord is finished, you're going to be going into deception.
Yeah.
I am in a place, I understand it all, and now I'm going to start telling everybody else what to fix because I've arrived. Wherever you are tonight, the Lord's not done with you.
No, He's not.
The Lord's not finished with you. When you get saved and then you get filled with the Holy Spirit, folks, you're just getting started.
Yeah.
You're just getting started. Yeah. The Lord has some more ground for you to gain.
Uh-huh.
The Lord has some greater victories for you to attain. The Lord has more grace for you in your life. There are some things in your personality that the Lord wants to mold to come into conformity to the image of Christ. But too many, I'm saying sanctified, so I'm there. And then sit back and start to fold our hands. Folks, that's fertile ground for the enemy to come in and sow his seed. It's fertile ground for the enemy to come in and bring deception in your life.
Yes, amen.
Because I have need of nothing. From the youngest to the oldest tonight, it does not matter what position you hold in the body or in the congregation, God is not finished with you. And it is going to take a real humility and an humbleness of mind for us to say, Lord, I need you to show me the way. Lord, I need you to show me the areas in my life. You know, more often than not, we know the places that we're weak in. More often than not, you already know what God's wanting you to come to Him with. We know that.
Amen.
Let's examine ourselves and allow God to pull the cover off of our spirit. Examine your attitude, your disposition, your works, and realize that God is not finished. God is not finished. And you have not arrived. You have not arrived. I have seen, and I say with all due respect, but I have seen some elderly people that get to a place in their life for God that they say, well, I'm just going to wait till the Lord comes back. And they sit down and they fold their hands. I've arrived. And now, Lord, I'm just waiting for you to come. Folks, when God gets ready to come back for you, He'll come. But until that time, the Lord is not finished with you. Until that time, there are still things in your life that God is wanting to purify. There are still things about you that you need to come more into the image of Christ. You see, because if that weren't the case, there's no reason for the Lord to tarry. He might as well just come back for all of us right now. But you see, when we stand before God, there's not going to be a purging process. When we stand at the judgment, there's not going to be some... I remember my dad asked a brother one time. He said, he asked Brother Clifford Wilson, he said, is there going to be any kind of a process? You kind of look around sometime and see people who are professing and see how carnal they are. And say, well, they're going to be in heaven? Is there going to be something that kind of changes some of that before they get in? Brother Clifford Wilson's response was, that's what's happening right now. Right now is the purging process. Right now is the time that God is working on us. But how have you been growing spiritually tonight? If you think you've arrived, you're going to be sitting back. You're not going to be following hard after the things of God because I'm already saved and sanctified. What else do I need to do? The Lord's not finished with you. And do not think tonight that you can go into heaven with the flesh, with carnality, with sin. It's not going to happen. And that is why it is the mercy of God that He brings His Word. It is why the Spirit of God brings conviction to show us the way, show us where we need to move up. But are you moving up? If you're the same place tonight that you were last year, something's wrong. The Lord isn't finished. Are you? Are you finished? In Proverbs in the 24th, rather, before we get there, let's just turn to the 139th Psalm. You know, daily we are going to have to actively present ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you today to give me grace. I need you, Lord, today to perfect me. Lord, I need you today to work in my life. Yes. Psalms 139, 23rd chapter. Search me, O God.
Yes.
I'm rich and I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Do you know someone that feels that way is not going to be saying, search me, O God.
Right,
search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Yes. Folks, this is something we're going to have to be continually doing in praying before God. Yes. Lord, search me. I realize I have not arrived, Lord. I realize, Lord, that there are some weaknesses in my life.
Yes.
I mentioned earlier that more often than not, you know the places that you're weak in your life. You know the places that you ought to be doing better than you are tonight. Some people are afraid to say, search me, O God, because you already know what God's going to say. You already know what He's going to say. Folks, what are you doing about it tonight? If you're doing what you ought to, you shouldn't feel any condemnation in the message tonight. But if you're not, the Spirit of God, it's His love. Because this lukewarmness, this call is not acceptable to God. To those that are saying, I'm rich and increased with goods, do you know the Lord healed me? Well, He may have, thank God for it, but how are you doing spiritually? How are you doing with the grace of God during the week? How are you responding when things don't go your way on the job? And when it comes time for business meeting in the congregation? Is there the humility of Christ then, or are you going to stand up for what you think? What then, dear ones? You see, this is where it gets down to how we live our life.
Amen.
I have need of nothing. If you know what God's going to say to you, dear ones, you know there's no, we should not put it off. We cannot put off what we know the Lord is wanting out of us. And there is going to be a place in all of our lives that we are going to be growing. There's a place that we're all going, the Lord, as we live for Him and our day, Lord, search me. I'm presenting myself to you, Lord, to guide me. I don't want to go into deception. I don't want to end up in 5 years somewhere and think that I'm right and be far away from what the Word of God teaches. But it is going to take humility, folks. It is going to take some time to the saved and sanctified tonight. It's going to take you saying, I was wrong. I misunderstood the will of God.
Yes.
I thought the Word said it this way, and I thought it was okay, but the Lord showed me I was wrong, and I'm willing to confess it.
Yes.
I'm willing to acknowledge where I was wrong.
Yes.
I realized, yes, I did have a need.
Yes.
I haven't arrived.
Yes.
I was wrong.
Amen.
We can get content and comfortable where we are spiritually.
Right.
You know, a lot of people get comfortable with their failures.
Yes.
A lot of people get comfortable with their sin. A lot of people get comfortable with their weaknesses.
Yeah.
I have weaknesses tonight, but I don't want to get comfortable with them.
That's right.
I want to be bringing those things to the Lord. Lord, I need greater power in my life. Lord, give me greater patience. Lord, give me greater long-suffering. I don't want to say, that's just the way that I am and everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody knows it. You're the one that's going to be sharp with your words. Everybody knows it, but don't get comfortable with it. It's not right.
No.
The Lord has something He wants to do in your life.
That's right.
Get comfortable sitting back. Folks, there are some things God wants to teach us tonight.
Yes, that's so.
Not just tonight, but in this meeting. Can we take it as a challenge?
Amen.
A personal challenge that, Lord, when I come to service, whoever the vessel is, I'm going to listen to the Word, Lord. I'm going to look beyond my prejudices. I'm going to look beyond my preferences in the ministers. Lord, I want to know what You have to say to me. And I'm going to examine my life. Why? Because I want to learn from the Lord. The Lord's not finished with you. The Lord has some things He wants to teach you. I'll speak for myself, for the ministers. The Lord has some things to teach us. The Lord has some things He wants to reveal to us. And from time to time, we're going to have to say, I was wrong, Lord.
That's right. Amen.
We're going to have to say to the congregation,
yes,
forgive me.
Amen.
I misunderstood.
Yes.
That's right.
That's going to take humility, isn't it?
Yes.
The Lord's not finished. Too many people, though, don't like someone to tell them what to do. Too many people. And it's not just people talk about rebellious teenagers. Do you know where they get it?
Yes.
How do their parents like to have someone telling them what to do all the time? See, in the congregation, on the job, don't tell me what to do. I can do it myself. Folks, the Lord has something to teach you. The Lord has some spiritual things that He wants to teach you, but there are people of prime example, the scribes and the Pharisees. They had arrived in their own mind. They had the law. They had a lot of knowledge of the law. A lot more than most everybody else. They understood the law and the intricacies and the detail of it. They understood it. But folks, with all of their understanding, they missed the point. They missed the point. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and wanted to teach them, I'm rich. We already understand it. We don't need to listen to you. Dear ones, when you begin to take that attitude, you're on dangerous ground. I don't need someone else to teach me. I don't need anybody else. I know I understand what it is. Dear ones, we're going to have to humble our heart and open up our minds and our hearts and allow the Spirit of God to change the way I thought it was. We're going to have to allow the Spirit of God to renew my mind. Not in the things of the world, but Lord, I need to be transformed. I haven't arrived. The Lord's not finished. The scribes and the Pharisees, they weren't dependent on God. They weren't dependent. They were self-righteous.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you can get an image in your mind of someone who's self-righteous. Not someone, but of a generic person. Let me put it that way. That looks self-righteous to you. Do you know that you don't have to look like that to be self-righteous? There are people, generally when people think of self-righteousness, they think of someone who's very conservative.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Yeah. Think of someone who's fanatic. They're just fanatic. But you know, the person on the other end of the spectrum can be self-righteous too.
Yeah.
I have more understanding than you. I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They're both wrong. They're both wrong. Folks, the Lord wants to teach us some things, but we're going to have a renewed mind.
Yeah.
We're going to have to daily and continually, Lord, search me.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I don't want to get on my soapbox. You know, there are some things in congregation, there are some things I know if I ever touch on them in a message, I can get someone going. It's your soapbox. If I want to get some amens, I know where to get them. And I don't ever do it. I don't do that intentionally. But I want us to understand, if you have a soapbox tonight, I have need of nothing. I got it. This is my box. I understand it through and through. And that's something that you tend to harp on, and you're going to come to the defense of that thing so quick, folks, you better watch your spirit. It doesn't matter where it falls, you just better watch it, because the Lord has some things to teach you. And about the time that you think you have it figured out, and you're looking on others, think, I have something to teach you. The Lord's saying, wait a minute. I have something to teach you. It's going to take the humility of heart.
Yes.
Romans, the 12th chapter and the 16th verse says, be not wise in your own conceits.
That's right.
What are conceits? Opinions.
Yes.
Ideas.
Yes.
Be not wise in your own opinions and ideas. Do you know the Lord wants us to come and lay down our opinions and ideas on the altar? And if the Lord wants to take them, then we should say amen. But this is one of the places the people at the church at Laodicea, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They thought they had it all figured out. And they got wise in their own conceits. And that begins then to hinder the Spirit of God moving. Because whenever the Spirit of God comes in and wants to touch some things in your life,
yeah,
you think, well, I already understand all about that. And so you close your ears to the Spirit of God. Lord, teach us.
Yes, Lord.
I have some needs, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And probably in some of the areas that you don't think you have needs, the Lord's looking down and said, would you let me show you something? Would you let me show you something? Folks, the Lord is not finished. But there is a condition. The church here at Laodicea, when they began to say they had need of nothing, you know, I believe that at one time they had the Spirit of God moving in their midst. At one time, they had the true Spirit of God. They had the joy, the love, the peace, the working of the Spirit. But through time, they said, we've arrived, and they begin to sit back. Now, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs in the 24th chapter, I want to read to you what one of the things that happens when people arrive or think they have.
Yes.
Proverbs chapter 24, we'll begin reading in the 30th verse. I went by the field of the slothful.
Yes.
And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Folks, if you think you have arrived, you are void of understanding.
Yes. That's
so.
Because there are places in your life the Lord is wanting to minister to you. He said, lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. That stone wall that was a defense to the field. That stone wall that kept the varmints out. The stone wall that was laid a protection. That fence of protection around that field. It had fallen down. And he said, I saw and I considered it well. And I looked upon it and I received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands asleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an unarmed man. Folks, this is what happens. I don't believe that field all of a sudden was grown over. There was a time that the fence was built up. There was a time that the man was probably out of his house, was painted, his field was weeded, and he was growing, beginning to prosper and grow. He looked around and said, I have fruit, my wall is built up, my house looks good, and so I think I'll just go on a trip. I think I'll sit back and fold my hands and do a little bit of slumbering. Dear ones, that is what will happen when you think you have arrived. I am rich and increased with goods. See what I have. I have need of nothing. Folks, in our spiritual life, we're going to have to daily put forth an effort to serve God. We're going to have to daily, Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, here is a weakness. I need more grace in my life. But too many people, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, so I can just sit back down because I've arrived. You're void of understanding. And it's not going to take very long for the walls of protection that were in your life beginning to break down. And pretty soon you can look and say, there's nothing wrong in doing that. I can go there. It's not going to do me any damage. I can go there. I can watch that. I can involve myself in these things. The wall being broken down. Because there is something in you that think I've arrived, I understand it all, and now I can do whatever I want. In the field of salvation, the fruit that was coming in your life now is just opened up and exposed to the power of the enemy to come in and begin to steal the fruit for the weeds to come in your life. This is what happens when you have arrived. You begin to look on your understanding and think, I got it figured out. And the wall begins to get broken down. And the enemy begins to come in and work, folks. It happens in individuals' lives all the time. And it happens in congregations. And it happens in bodies of people when they think they get to a place that my understanding is just a little bit more enlightened than everybody else's. It ought to be a danger sign to us, folks. You ever heard the saying that practice makes perfect? That's not true. It doesn't. Perfect practice makes perfect. I've been in the way for 20 years, and you've been carnal for 20 years. You had a sharp tongue for 20 years. You've been impatient for 20 years. Folks, it's not how long you've been in the way. How have you been doing in the way? You see, if you sit down and play the piano and you're misreading a note, you'll hit the wrong note every time you play it. And you can practice for hours and hours, and it comes time for the recital, the judgment, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to hit the wrong note again. It was because, yes, you say, well, I practiced, it should have been right. No, perfect practice is when you sit down, if you're playing music, you sit down, you play, and you mess up. You see the note, whoops, I hit the wrong note.
That's right.
So I'm going to go back over that part of the music, and I'm going to go over and over, never being satisfied with less than what the music says. You see, that's the perfect heart that a child of God has. Yes, I'm still human. Yes, I still have emotions. Yes, maybe I didn't quite have the patience that I should have. Lord, I need more patience. I'm not going to be content where I am. I'm not going to say I'm okay and I'm rich and increased with goods. The Lord has more to give to you tonight. Every day of our salvation, we should be drawing closer and closer to God. And you should be further down the road spiritually tonight than you were last year. I think about it this way. Those of you that are younger, think what it ought to be when you're old. If you'll just daily keep seeking God. But to the elderly tonight, you need to be doing the same thing. Too many I mentioned, and I mean with all respect, too many elderly people sit back and think they have arrived. I've seen many people that say, well, the elder need to teach the younger, and you see my gray hair, so I'm going to teach you. What are you going to teach? I've seen how you lived your life. What do you have to offer? You see, it's not the gray hair. It is the elderly that have followed the way of holiness and the way of purity. Those that we say, I have confidence in that sister's life, in that brother's life. Why? Because I saw them seeking God. Yes, they made some mistakes, but they didn't say, it's okay. They went back and said, Lord, I need something more. I need you to give me greater grace. And then they can get up and they can teach those of us that are younger. But folks, it's not the gray hair in itself. It is because those that have followed the way of God, like He said it in His Word, then those of us that are young can learn from you. We need your experience. We need your teaching. But it's not in the gray hair in itself. It was because you were faithful to say, the Lord's not finished with me.
Right.
Brother Clifford Willis, and I know I mentioned he just passed away. I don't know if very many of you knew him. Very spiritual man.
Yes.
Many times I say, Brother Clifford, how are you doing? And he said, well, I'm doing fine for a beginner. And I thought, Lord, if Brother Clifford's a beginner, I'm not even on the chart. Do you know we need to keep that kind of a spirit, though?
Yes.
The Lord's not finished with us, folks. The Lord's not finished. The Lord is not finished with a congregation.
That's right.
You haven't arrived.
That's right.
I haven't arrived. There's more the Lord wants to give to us.
Yes.
There's more grace. There's more Christ.
Yes.
He wants to change us and mold us into His shape, into His image.
Amen.
Many times we look on, maybe if you've been doing some music, you say, well, it's good enough. My timing may have not just been right, it's good enough. My wife's family, they sing a whole lot better than I do, and I almost don't like to sing with them because I'm just kind of the odd man out. I can't always get my notes, and my timing's not like theirs, and they can just do their little hum. It's like, there you go. And I said, that doesn't mean anything to me. But you see, to me, when I'm singing, well, it's good enough. See? And that's fine for music. That's all right with me. I can still be blessed with off-tune or off-timing not right all the time. I can still be blessed. But folks, and people do that with carpentry work. That's why they have DAB in cock. Because, well, it's good, it's close enough. And then we just kind of cover it up. Well, some of the sisters do it with house cleaning. It's good enough. Folks, you can get by with some of those things. But spiritually, we're not going to be able to get by saying it's good enough. It's not good enough, folks. It's not. The Lord is not finished.
Amen.
The Lord is not finished. But it's up to you tonight if you are going to allow God to work in your life. It's up to you. Because God is not going to force Himself on you. God is not going to force you to change. And He, if you really want to, He will allow you to go on with your preconceived ideas and notions. He'll allow you to go on saying it's good enough. But all the time, I want you to remember tonight when the Spirit of God showed you it's not enough. It's not good enough. I have something more. And if you reject that, the Spirit of God will not henpeck you. The Spirit of God will be faithful to come back, and I can say I'm thankful for it in my life when He's dealt with me more than one time on the same thing. But He has no obligation tonight to say, here, aren't you going to do it? You need to change this. Because at some point, the Spirit's going to say, I tried, I dealt with you, and you said you had arrived. I have need of nothing. See, I'm blessed. Too many people in the religious world, and folks, I talk a lot about the religious world, but many times it's not just out there.
That's right.
It's not just out there. It can be right among us. People who say, the Lord is blessing me so much. Why aren't you measured to the world? You see, God works hand in hand with His Word.
That's true.
But see, the church at Laodicea, they said, we're rich and increased with goods. See how God is blessing and anointing? I heard recently, and it grieved my heart, there's a church that I know of that has been growing the last few years. It's growing in leaps and bounds. They're building a new chapel now. And a group that one time had the truth. One time they had understanding, and now the minister is telling his congregation that adultery is okay. The second marriage, it's okay. Just found out recently he's in that situation himself. No wonder he's telling the congregation it's okay. I prayed to the Lord, and He told me that I would always have someone with me. Folks, it doesn't matter how you think God has talked to you. It will always measure to the Word. And yet they can go on, and on the surface we can say, look how God is blessing. Folks, everything that looks like it's a blessing is not necessarily a blessing from God.
That's right.
You see, if the enemy can allow things to grow and look like they're prospering, and they show how the Spirit is moving among us, then we say we have need of nothing. See how God is blessing us? We better be sure it's the Lord. We better be sure it's in conformity to the Word of God.
Yes.
Folks, it starts your life individually.
All right.
I can't change anybody else. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, Lord, help me. Because the Lord is not finished with me. In 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace. Folks, you haven't arrived. You're not there. The Lord is not finished.
Yes.
Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. There's some more that the Lord has to give to us. There's more power in your individual life. There is more grace that God wants to bestow on you. So grow in it. The Scripture says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, there is more that God wants to impart to me. The Lord is not finished.
Amen.
The Lord is not finished.
Amen.
If you'll turn with me, and we'll be done shortly, in the 15th chapter of John. John chapter 15, the first verse. That I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Folks, who was He talking to? He wasn't talking to the sinner here. He purges the saint.
Yes.
The one who believes in the Lord that has been saved.
Yes.
That's who He purges. But if you think you have arrived, you are keeping God from coming in and purging your life. You are keeping and hindering the Spirit of God from coming in and perfecting you.
That's right.
The Lord wants to come in and work in your life. Will you be willing tonight to let God do it? Do you know that everything the Word of God teaches us and the Spirit reveals to you, He will give us the grace to measure to it? He's not going to demand or ask anything of us, but He isn't going to be there to help us to do it. Help us to live it. But it's going to be in Christ. He's wanting to purge His people tonight. He went in the fourth verse, said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And in the latter part of the fifth verse, He said, for without me you can do nothing. Folks, without God, without our sufficiency and dependency, it's not just in our head knowledge, it's not in our history, it's not in all of these things. Our sufficiency is in Christ Jesus. Without Him, we can do nothing. If you say, I have need of nothing, you have missed the very power of God. And you are on your way to deception. I won't take the time to read it, but in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, it talks about the Lord chasteneth whom He loves. And it talks about how it's not pleasant. Chastening is not pleasant. But the Lord does it. He purges us that it might bring forth more fruit.
Yes.
That which is lame, don't let it be turned out of the way. When the Lord shows you where you have fallen short and showed you needs in your life, don't be discouraged with it. Don't say, I can't live it. But rather, let it be healed. Because this is why Jesus came. Yes. He came to heal us. He came to give us strength. Where I am weak, I can be strong through Jesus Christ. That I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So tonight, do not allow the enemy to discourage when the Spirit of God shows needs in your life.
Amen.
But don't sit back like the slothful man and say, it's okay. It's good enough. I have need of nothing. But rather, no, the Lord is not finished. In closing, in the 138th Psalm, in the 8th verse, says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will perfect that. Folks, the Lord did not come to destroy us. But folks, this goes beyond to the sinner. This goes to those of you tonight that are having to have a profession of salvation and sanctification. The Lord wants to perfect you. The Lord wants to work in you and give you more ground than you hold tonight. The Lord is not finished. But again, we are going to have to do our part. We are going to have to be willing to be taught.
Yes.
You know, preachers need to be preached to.
Yes, right.
People get to, well, I just need to be the one given. Something wrong, folks. I have need of nothing. Folks, we all have needs. And if any of you ever get to the place that you think you have arrived, folks, you're on dangerous ground. The Lord is not finished with you tonight, but if you will continually present yourself to the Lord, Lord, you showed me some weaknesses. I'm not going to excuse them anymore. I'm not going to justify them. Lord, I need something more from you. That is when the Lord can begin to minister to you, and next year you'll be able to say, I'm further down the road by the grace of God, and I have further to go because the Lord is not finished. Amen.